الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولا نظير له ولا ند له ولا ضد له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وليسعك بيتك وقال عليه الصلاة والتسليم إن لربك عليك حقا وإن لأهلك عليك حقا وإن لنفسك عليك حقا فأعطي كل ذي حق حقه أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My respected elders and brothers, we have reached that time of the year where everyone, young and old, are all looking forward for a break. People are looking forward to the holidays. Children are looking forward. Adults are looking forward that after a long year of hard work, that they can now have some rest and now take a little break. In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows a Muslim to have a break. But not in a way that that break breaks a person's deen and breaks a person's Islam. There was once an incident that had taken place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to visit a friend of his, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. In that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had established a relationship of brotherhood between these two sahaba. And Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he came to the house of Hazrat Abu Darda, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu presented some food to him to partake. Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu sat down to eat, and he asked his brother, Hazrat Abu Darda, that why don't you join me in this meals? So Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu refused, and he says, that you continue eating, I am fasting, and I cannot partake of meals with you. So Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned to him, Oh Abu Darda, if you are not going to eat with me, then I also will not eat. So until you don't break your fast and partake of meals with me, I'm not going to eat. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu broke his fast and he joined in the meal with Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu. After the performance of the Isha Salah, when Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to have a rest, he noticed that Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was going to perform Salah. So he told him, Oh Abu Darda, you will not perform Salah now, you will have a rest. So he made Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu lie down as well. After a small portion of the night had passed, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu stood up again to perform Salah. Again Hazrat Salman told him, rest, you will not perform Salah now. Until the last portion of the night had come, and then both the Sahaba ikram stood up, and they performed the Tahajjud Salah. When they went for the Fajr Salah, Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu narrated this entire incident to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I find that my brother, he is not eating during the day, he is fasting continuously. At night he doesn't want to sleep, he doesn't want to rest, he's performing salah throughout the night. And this is how I had advised him, that he should break his fast, he should eat also, he should sleep also. When the last portion of the night comes, he can perform his salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled And he said, Sadaqa Salman. Salman has spoken the truth. Inna li rabbika alayka haqqa. Indeed, your Rabb, he has a right. Wa inna li ahlika alayka haqqa. And your family and children, they also have a right. Wa inna li nafsika alayka haqqa. And you, as a person, as a human, you also have certain rights. فَأَعْطِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهِ. Then everyone, every person should be given his right, his due right accordingly and properly. So this was the advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given to Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Hence at the time of a holiday, if a person needs a break, he needs a rest, then indeed he may do so. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Khan sahab rahmatullah alayhi of Jalalabad, he used to advise the students at the time of a holiday. He used to say, Bacho, khub so. You're going home now. This is the time for you all to have a good rest. Have a good rest. Sleep throughout the holiday. Have a good rest and have a break. Because you've been working throughout the madrasa days, and especially students of deen, then there's a lot of mental work that is involved. Memorizing the Quran Kareem, learning the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, etc. So a person gets tired. He gets fatigued. Hazrat Ji rahmatullah used to advise him that, Go home, have a good rest, sleep well. So when you come back to madrasa after the holidays, you are now fresh and you can continue with your work. Our akabir would advise the students in this manner. They would advise the murids in this manner, that after a time of work, a person can have a rest. But not in the manner that is carrying on today. That a person during the holiday season, he goes to certain places which is full of fitna and full of wrong. Full of evil and full of nudity, full of music and full of gambling and full of kufr and shirk, then this is not a place, this is not a destination for a Muslim. And especially when an international holiday has become an obsession in a person, that at the end of the year, come what may, we have to go for an international holiday. We must go overseas. I was sitting in on Maktab the other day, taking the imtihan of the children, and they're just asking the way where they're going for holiday. So in the entire class, from one side to the other, every child gave an international destination. One child is going to France in Paris. Someone is going to Gold Coast in Australia. Someone is going to Phuket in Thailand. Someone is going to Mauritius. Someone is going to UK. Someone in Chicago in America. There was only one child in the class who said he's going to Cape Town. And the rest of the children are all going for an international holiday. Be it as it may, if a person has the means and he has the ability, and if he's not going in a place of fitna and facade, by all means. But not that it must become an obsession in a person, that we have to go for an international holiday, whether we can afford it or not, whether we're owing money to people or not, whether we have to take a debt or not, but we must go for that holiday. This is something Islam does not encourage. This is something that Islam does not advocate. Our akabir and our ulama, they teach us that during this holiday period, we should try and make these holidays into holy days. And they would advise us in this manner, that there are certain guidelines. If a person follows these guidelines, inshallah he will have a nice break as well. And these holidays of his also will be constructive. Remember, this life in this world is not a life for us that will remain forever. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The real life is the life of the Akhirah. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to chant these words several times. He would say, Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Allahumma la khayra illa khayrul akhirah. Oh Allah, really, the real life is the life of the akhirat. This life of ours in the world is not a place of play and amusement and enjoyment. Real enjoyment Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept for us in the akhirat. For a person to become obsessed that we must wait for this December period, and in this time we will have a beautiful time and we'll have a good holiday and we'll enjoy ourselves. And this is not the purpose of life. This is not why Allah has sent us in this world. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has sent us for another reason for another purpose. Hence our ulama ikram explain to us and they teach us that when this period comes, they've given a few guidelines which I've noted down and we'll discuss inshallah on how we can make these holidays of ours constructive. This is a time when our children will be coming back home with their reports. They will get their reports from school. They will get their reports from madrasa. This is a time for us to study that madrasa report. See where the weaknesses are in our children. Where they are falling short. Where they need to improve. And this is a time for us to now help them and assist them to fill in on all those weaknesses. Perhaps in the report it may come that our child hasn't yet learnt his Yasin Sharif correctly, or he's having a problem with his Masnoon Duas. He hasn't learnt his Attahiyat correctly and properly. He doesn't know how to read the Dua-i Qunut in the Witr Salah. Then this is a time for us where we can spend with our children and try and teach them and assist them with these weaknesses that they are finding. Normally during the year, we have this excuse that we are very busy, we don't have time to sit with our children. But in these days when we are a little more free and we have the time, then we should take out this time to sit with our children and have it a little constructive, teach them where their weaknesses are. So when they go back to madrasa the next year, they are now on a better footing and they can now improve on where they left off. The second thing our ulama-i-kiram advise us to do is to spend some quality time with our wives and children. This is something that is lacking in many of us, that we don't give our children quality time. We have time for everything else, our businesses, our work, our jobs, and our friends, and everything else. But when it comes to our wives and children, then there we don't have the time to spend with them. Whereas this is an extremely important part of our life, to spend quality time with our children. As our children are growing up, they need us. We sometimes bluff them with wealth, or we bluff them with games, or we bluff them with PSPs, etc. This keeps them happy for a few minutes. But really, that child doesn't need that. That child needs you. He needs his father. He needs his mother. He needs someone to spend time with him. And by spending time with our children, this is how we will develop them. This is how we will bring them up. I remember as a little child, our dada marhum, rahmatullahi alayh, he would spend a lot of time with us. Every day he would sit and narrate to us incidents about the sahaba kiram, incidents about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, incidents about the anbiya alayhim wasalam, incidents about the pious people of the past. And this was his habit, that he would always sit and he would narrate these incidents. And this was his way of developing his children and grandchildren. This is something we should also try and adopt. That we sit with our children, explain to them the importance of things in life, where our priorities lie, what is important for a Muslim, what those things that we should stay away from, etc. In this way, we develop our children. I know one person in particular, I noticed that he'll always visit the Qabristan. He'll always visit the Qabristan. On a Friday, it is masnoon for us to visit the Qabristan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would advise us regularly that a Muslim should try and visit the Qabristan, as this reminds him of death. So I asked him one day, I told him, brother, you have this, mashallah, good quality in you, where you visit the Qabristan very often. So he mentioned that this was something my father taught me. As a young child, he would take me to the Qabristan, and he would show me that this is my father's grave, this is my mother's grave. And he would make us stand there and recite Yasin Sharif, recite Surah Ikhlas 11 times, and pass the sawab over to the deceased. That these are values that we should be passing over to our children. And in our hectic schedules during the year, when we don't have the time to spend with our children, this is an ideal time for us to spend with our children and pass on these good values and these good morals over to our children during this period. The third thing that our ulama-i-kiram teach us is that to spend time with our parents. Why I'm saying this is that I met a friend of mine recently, and he mentioned that he's married now for 20 years. And in the 20 years that he's married, he hadn't had an opportunity of spending even one night in the home of his parents after his nikah. In other words, the day he got married, he made wada of his parents and he was gone. Remember, our parents, they've gone through a lot to bring us up and to bring us to where we are today. For us to spend some time with them in their home, sit and speak to them, this is part of our deen, and this is part of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, there is one hadith where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks in praise of that person who sits on the bed of his parents. He sits on the bed of his parents and he speaks to them in a way that he makes them laugh and they make him laugh. In other words, he pleases the hearts of his parents. He makes them happy. There are many of us, who we don't realize what our parents have gone through in our childhood, what they have done for us. For us, during this holiday period, is a time for us to try and spend time with them and get their du'as and take their du'as during this period. The other thing that, point number four that is written is, that during this time, it's a good time for us, for Hufaz-e-Kiram, to also spend time in the learning of their door, to learn the Qur'an-e-Kareem. During the year, there's this excuse that comes about many a times that we don't get time to do dhuhr. We should try and do the dhuhr of our Quran al-Kareem. And for those people who are not Hafizul Quran, then give ourselves a little target that during this holiday period, perhaps I can try and learn. If I cannot learn the whole Quran, I can learn the heart of the Quran. I can try and memorize Surah Yasin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned great amount of fazilat for a person who recites Surah Yasin every morning and recites Surah Yasin every evening. We have time, mashallah, for everything else. This is an opportune time for us to give ourselves an opportunity to learn the heart of the Quran, to memorize it, to practice it, and to recite it daily during this holiday period. There may be other surahs of the Quran that we can also memorize, like Surah Mulk. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith that it is my wish and my desire that Surah Mulk be in the heart of every ummati of mine. Surah Mulk be in the heart of every ummati of mine. Again, this is an opportunity. Instead of just enjoyment and instead of just entertainment, we can make this holiday of ours constructive. Learn Surah Yasin, learn Surah Tabarak, etc. The fifth point that is mentioned by our ulama and our elders is, this is a chance for us to visit our family and friends. There may be many people in our area who are sick, and we didn't get a chance and an opportunity to go and visit them. So this is a good chance and an opportunity for us to go and visit the sick people in our area. Or perhaps there was a mayat and someone had passed away. We didn't get a chance to make taziyat at that home. Or there may have been family and friends that we didn't get a chance to go and visit. In this period, let us try and make that time and make that effort that we go and visit family and friends, sick people, etc. And in this way, we take our children and go as well to try and create that love and that muhabbat in them for family members, as well as doing this great amal of visiting the sick. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith that a person who goes and visits a sick person, man aada maridan aw zara akhan lahu fillah, nadahu munadin bi an tibta wa taba mamshaka wa tabawwa'ta min al-jannati manzila. By doing these good actions, visiting sick people, going to visit the people who are distressed, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this one action of visiting a sick person, builds a palace in Jannah for that person who takes out his time and visits the sick people. 70,000 malaika are appointed to continuously make dua e maghfirat and dua of forgiveness for that person who visits the sick people. So these are good opportunities for us to go out and visit our family and friends. There may be many relatives of ours who will get extremely pleased and happy with us when we come and visit them, as the entire year passes many a time where we don't get chance to visit them or see them. The next point, the point number six that our elders have taught us is that during this period, it's a good chance and opportunity for us to visit the awliya-i-kiram, to visit the buzrugan-e-deen. How we wish that our Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali was alive today, that we could spend some time in his suhbat, spend some time in his khidmat. Perhaps we could take our children to go make salam with Hazrat. Hazrat could pass his hand over their heads, and perhaps the dunya and akhirat would have been made if Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was alive. But Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali has left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is like this, that the awliya-i-kiram will come and the awliya-i-kiram will go. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always have buzrugan-e-deen and awliya-i-kiram in our midst. This is a good chance for us to take our children and visit the awliya and the buzrugan-e-deen. Here in Durban, alhamdulillah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed us. We have many, many senior ulama, many senior buzrugan-e-deen that are here. Take our children and go and make salam with them, even if it's for a few minutes. Our Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, whenever you go and make salam with him, whenever you go meet him, Hazrat will give you a whole string of du'as. Allah bless you in this dunya. Allah bless you in the akhirat. Allah bless your children. Allah save you from all the fitna and evil in this qabr, in this dunya, qabr and akhirat. And a whole lot of du'as Hazrat will give. All you have to do is just sit with a smile on your face and say Ameen to those beautiful du'as that Hazrat will pass on. Again, this is a chance for us to take our children and go and visit the awliya-i-kiram, the buzrugan-e-deen that are around. Our Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh used to mention it nicely in a poetry. He used to say, Nawazo se na kitabo se, nazar se peda, deen hoti hai buzurgo ki nazar se peda. It's not through bayans and through kitabs and through wealth that deen will come alive. But it's that one nazar of those buzrugan-e-deen, those awliya Allah, that will fall upon our children, that will fall upon us, and our dunya and akhirat will be made. So take this opportunity and try and visit the Buzrugane Deen, the ulama kiram, take our children and go. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakat, and Allah ta'ala will give us tawfiq. And the last point that our ulama kiram have mentioned with regards to this is that a person should use this time also to look after his health. وَلِإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that this is a good chance for you. إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ Verily your body, your soul, yourself also has a right over you. And where we get a chance during the year to do our exercise, to look after our health, to control our eating, this is a chance, mashallah, where we can also look after our health and we look after ourselves. So this body which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, which is an amanat and is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we take care of that and we look after it as well. So these are 7 points which our akabir ulama have given to us with regards to the holidays, how we can make it constructive and how we can make it into holy days and how we can make it such that when we finish off with this holiday period, we are stronger than before that and our minds are now fresh and we can take on our work even better than what it was when we had left. Nevertheless, for those people who are going on holiday and those people who have already decided, then we should make our destinations into such places that are free from any fitna and free from any wrongs and evils that are taking place. Yes, if a person wants to spend some time with his children, he goes to a quiet place, perhaps to some dam, where he wants to do some fishing with his son, etc. By all means, a person can do so. But during this December period, when there's so much of fitna and there's so much of wrongs, I heard Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat used to mention, he says that Durban is not a destination for holidays during this December period. He says the amount of fitna and facade, the amount of wrongs and evils that are taking place, the nudity, the evil that takes place in these areas, this is not a time for us to be frequenting it. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh used to go to this extent, where he used to say, even if you've got relatives that are living on the beachfront area, then during this period, don't even go and visit them. He says, if a person goes to an area where there is a disease like malaria, and he says, no, I'm just going to visit family and relatives in that area, he will tell him, don't even go in during this period, because that malaria will affect you as well. So during this period, a person should make sure he doesn't go to any place that is full of fitna and facade, but rather in a quiet place if he wishes, by all means, but not in these places here where it will affect him and will affect his children. The second thing is that when a person goes on holiday, he must make sure that he is conscious about his dressing. This libas of ours, this kurta that we wear, this topi and turban, this is the dressing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Under no circumstance can a person throw and discard this dressing, which is the sunnah of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This in itself is a protection for us. During the holiday periods, it is common, and this complaint comes every now and again, that during the holiday period, a person threw his turban away, he threw his topi away, he threw his kurta away, and he's dressing also like how the kuffar are dressing. We cannot leave the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was speaking to one student who lives in one location area. He accepted Islam, and he studied at the madrasa, and then he came back after a few years. And he mentioned that in this area that I'm living in, he says there's no Muslims, there's no masjid. I'm the only Muslim in that area. It's so difficult for me to practice on Islam. It's so difficult for me to retain my iman because I'm the only Muslim that is there. He says for me to get sucked up in the environment is extremely easy. But he says the moment I wear my sunnat clothing, if I wear my kurta, I wear my turban, I wear my topi, I keep my trouser above my ankles, he says no matter where I am, I'm safe from wrong, I'm safe from evil, just because of this dressing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third thing that we should keep in mind when going on holiday is the importance of performing our salah on time. If a person is going for some international holiday, then a person should make note of the salah times in the country that he is going to, or whilst he is flying, what times will the salah be, and ensure that he performs his salah, even if he is on the plane, or even if he is in the airport. This was the style of our Buzrugane Deen. Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, when he would be traveling on the trains, and if it was the time of salah, he would loudly give the azan. Even if it was at the train station, he would give the azan and he would perform his salah. Again, our ulama teach us that we should do it in a way that's not going to inconvenience other people. A person is now reading his salah in the aisle, and he's performing long, long rakats of namaz there, and he's obstructing all the people that are there in the plane. And of course, Islam doesn't teach us to disturb and hurt other people. But at the same time, our obligations, we should make sure we fulfill it. The fourth thing is with regards to our food, that we should ensure that we eat halal food wherever we go. There are many places where the people advertise halal in Arabic, they will write it there. That doesn't necessarily mean that the food is halal. A person will be particular about what he eats. What Maulana was telling us, he says that when you're in doubt, leave it out. Even if it's fish or trout, leave it out. He says, why? Because many a times that fish or that trout is also dipped in wine. It's dipped in alcohol and then it's served. And that can be haram for us to partake. So a person must be very careful about his eating, where he goes, what he eats, etc. And the fifth point that our ulama kiram have given us guidelines with regards to this holidays is that many a times a person, and this is supported by one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regards to a particular woman who outwardly she seemed to be very, very pious. She would be performing her salah, and she would be performing her tahajjud, and she would be fasting, etc. But when she passed away, she was flung into the fire of Jahannam. When people asked what was the reason for this, the reason was given that she had a cat which she never looked after. And she would leave it hungry for many, many days. And as a result of this hunger, the cat had died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so upset with her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished her for not looking after that pet of hers. During this holiday season, many times people go for holiday. When they come back, they see the goldfish are dead in the tank. The birds are upside down in the cages. The rabbits are all dead in the cages. People don't make that intizam for all these pets. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, he mentions, he says, once I was writing the Bayanul Quran, and every morning when I used to write it, my pen used to flow. But one particular day I noticed that my pen is just not moving. And I couldn't write like how I would write normally. So Hazrat rahmatullah alayh says thereafter, he says that when I thought about it, I realized that morning I hadn't opened up the fowl run to allow the chickens to come and feed. And as a result of that, he says, I stood up quickly, I opened the fowl run, fed the fowls. And when I came back to write, I saw my pen started flowing again. I realized that blockage came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not looking after those pets. But more than the pets, my respected elders and brothers, is our parents. Is our parents, many of us have old parents that are living with us. One lady one day phoned to the madrasa, and she says that during this holiday period, I make dua, and only one dua comes out from my heart. Allah ta'ala, take me away. Allah ta'ala, take me away from here. She asked why she's making a dua like this. She says, during this holiday period, I just get pushed from one house to the other. I get shunted from place to place. I have to live off a suitcase. And every time there's a fight between my children, someone is saying that, no, you have to look after Ma now, because we want to go for holiday. And they say, but you all went for holiday last time, now you all must look after her. And she says, I become a burden for my children. Those children for whom I gave my life, who I spent sleepless nights to look after them and bring them up, this is how they're treating me today. And I wish that Allah Ta'ala rather take me away than be in this condition. My respected elders and brothers, this is not the thinking of a Muslim. This is not a way of a Muslim. A Muslim looks after his parents. He takes care of them. إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ فَآتِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. Give every person his due right. We don't rob our parents for our enjoyment and entertainment. And in conclusion, I'll just mention this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, at a time when there's so much of fitna and evil and wrong and nudity and sin that is taking place, then the best place for a Muslim is, well, yasa'aka baytuk, just stay at home. A person should just stay at home. He'll be safe from all kinds of wrong and evil. When there's a sandstorm that is blowing and it's going into the eyes of every person, then the intelligent thing for a person to do at that time is get into his house, close up the doors and the windows, and stay in the protection of his home. Allah Ta'ala will take care of him. Allah Ta'ala will take care of his children. May Allah Ta'ala give us a true understanding. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.